You are listening to the weekly podcast of Jordy Christian Church, located on 441 1 Mile North Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, jordychristian.com. This weekend, we continue with our series called All In. On this very special Baptism Sunday, we are celebrating 15 years as Jordy Christian Church. Today, lead pastor John Hampton will continue into Paul's letter to the Colossian Christians as we find the true reason to celebrate, and that is that Jesus is way more than enough to handle the biggest problems we face in life today. Our scripture text comes from Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Today's message is entitled, All In Celebration.
For the past few weeks, we've been studying through a brief letter to a little church in the first century world that has a big message. The letter is called Colossians, and the message it contains is colossal. And here's the message. Jesus is supreme and sufficient in every way. Jesus is supreme and sufficient in every way. He is big enough to handle whatever you need, whatever you got, whatever you lack, whatever you want. Jesus is enough, and you don't need any more than him. But the Colossian Christians, like so many in our day, were being continually told, Jesus is really cool, and he's an excellent moral example, and he is a magnificent teacher, and he's really helpful in understanding God, but he's just one good spiritual option among many. And so many great leaders have come along since Jesus to teach us so much more. And to those folks, Paul, the writer of this letter to the Colossian church, would say these words that we're going to focus on today. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Now, here's the heart of what Paul really wanted them to know. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So today is what we are calling our all-in celebration weekend at Journey. And we are celebrating today not only 15 years of ministry as Journey Christian Church, we are celebrating something way more significant than that, although that is a wonderful and terrific thing to celebrate. But the basis of our celebration is found in this section of Paul's letter that we just read, and there are three big statements that Paul makes that reassures us that Jesus is enough, and he has done way more than enough to handle the biggest problems that you and I will ever face. So I would like to suggest three big things to celebrate today. Number one, the celebration of Jesus dealing with my death sentence. Let's all read that out loud together. The celebration of Jesus dealing with my death sentence. Paul says, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. I want to tell you something. The scriptures do not view death as a someday problem. Most of humanity, most of us, we view death as a someday I'm going to have to deal with that. Someday my time will be up and my number will be called and I'll have to face the grim reaper. That's not how the writers of scripture view death. The voice of the scriptures is consistent that death is not a someday problem. Death is a right now problem. You see, philosophy says man is in a dilemma, but Christianity says no, man is dead. That's why Paul said, when you were dead in your sins. So what is death in the biblical view and perspective? Death is separation from God. Death is separation from God. God told Adam, the day you turn your back on me, the day you try to go it on your own, you will surely die. Now, Adam didn't die physically for many, many more years after his initial act of disobedience, but something died in the garden that day in the relationship between God and humanity that would usher in every form of decay, despair, defeat, and death that we have ever known. That's why in Jesus' famous story about the rebellious son leaving home and breaking his father's heart, only to return later humbled and broke, the father explained to his older son, "Son, we had to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again." Now, the younger brother hadn't died physically, but he had cut himself off from the life the father wanted to give him. And that's our condition apart from God. Well, who can do anything about that? Jesus can. Through Jesus, God has given us an answer to both spiritual and physical death. Max Lucado writes in his book, 6 Hours, One Friday, he tells of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the Amazon rainforest. They lived near a large river. The tribe was badly in need of medical attention. A contagious disease was ravaging the population. People were dying daily. A hospital was not too far away, just across the river, but the Indians would not cross it because they believed the river was inhabited by evil spirits, and if they would enter the waters, it would mean certain death for them. But the missionary explained how he had crossed the river, and he was unharmed. They were still not impressed. He took them to the bank. He placed his hand in the water. They still wouldn't go in. He walked into the water up to his waist, splashed water on his face. It didn't matter. They were still afraid to enter the river. And finally, he dove into the river, swam beneath the surface until he emerged on the other side. He raised a triumphant fist into the air. He had entered the water and escaped. It was then and only then that the Indians broke into a cheer and followed him across the water. And Max Lucado writes, isn't that what Jesus did? He entered the river of death and came out on the other side so that we might no longer fear death, but find eternal life in him. Now, I want you to listen, friends. Listen very carefully. Our hope is not in what might happen someday. Our hope is in what did happen one day when Jesus conquered the grave and death was arrested and a new creation in him and through him began. Now we say, how can we be sure of that? And Paul says, don't you remember what happened when you were baptized? When you were buried in baptism, he says, you identified with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in a way like no other. In other letters that he wrote, Paul describes baptism as a putting on of Jesus or a being clothed with Christ. You see, when we go all in by going all under, we are visibly and publicly signifying that everything that is true about Jesus as my substitute is transferred to me by accepting Jesus as my Savior. What was assigned to Jesus on our behalf is now defined in us as we follow him. Paul is saying that this body that may be aging and not what it used to be has a life force flowing inside of it that will never die because I am connected to the one who was dead and is alive again. And baptism is the connecting point to the beauty and mystery of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and our death and burial and resurrection in him. Baptism is a sign and a seal to remind me that when that day comes, when this body of flesh fails, I will not die because I've already died and been raised with Jesus. I will relocate to the presence of God, and when Jesus returns, I will get a new resurrection body that will never age, spoil, fail, or perish. Jesus is more than enough to release me from my death sentence. And friends, if that's not worth celebrating, I don't know what is. But wait, there's more. Here's the second thing. It's the celebration of Jesus dealing with my debt of sin. Everybody say that with me right now. The celebration of Jesus dealing with my debt of sin. Paul writes, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Now, what I'm about to tell you has happened to me on several occasions over my time as a pastor. I've been out to a restaurant, sometimes, very few times, by myself. Most of the time with my wife, and sometimes my whole family has been with me. And when it's time to settle up and pay the bill, I've asked the server to bring me the bill. And she says, or he says, I can't. And I say, why not? And she says, I don't have it. And I say, well, why don't you have it? Did you lose it? Did you forget that we ate? If so, I'm coming back here tomorrow. No, I didn't lose it. No, I didn't forget it. Well, where's my check? Well, someone asked me to give your check to them, and they took it and they paid it, even your tip. And my first thought is, I should have ordered dessert. I knew it. Next time, get dessert. And quick aside, I just want to say this to you. There's a special reward in heaven for people who do that for their pastors. I just want you to know that. There's a special reward for that. I have a pastor friend in another city who says one day the barista at Starbucks told him, hey, somebody in line ahead of you has already paid for your drink. The next day, his server at a restaurant told him somebody already paid for he and his wife's meal. So the next day, my friend said he decided to hang out at the Lexus store and just see what happened. I mean, what can it hurt, right? Now, I want you to listen. On those occasions when that happens, that server couldn't even bring me a record of my check. Now, my check wasn't lost. It wasn't forgotten. It wasn't overlooked. It was charged to the account of another, and he or she or they paid it. And through their kindness to me, the one who incurred the charges, it was like it never existed. It was gone forever. When we talk about Jesus' forgiveness of our sin, I think we often misunderstand what took place fully at the cross. Our sins weren't forgotten. Our sins weren't overlooked or misplaced. They were paid for and canceled out by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross to the point that we can't even find a record of him anymore. Here's what the Hebrew writer said. The Hebrews writer said, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Jesus was nailed for our sins. But I want to tell you, here's the problem. Here's the problem with many of us. We can't stop nailing ourselves. We keep remembering what the highest court in the universe has no record of. You know why? Because somewhere in our childhood, someone taught us there's no such thing as a free lunch. You've got to at least cover the tip, right? Ingrained in our human DNA is the notion that grace is too good to be true, and I can't really trust it. And so we get this good news from God that Jesus has forgiven my sins, and it seems too good to be true. And we want to remember what God has forgotten, and we want to pay for what's already been paid for, and we want to dig up a record that no longer exists. And when that happens, we're listening to the voice of the accuser who whispers in our ear that our sin record has not been lost or forgotten, and it's just a matter of time before somebody presents it, and you'll have to pay. And I want to say this to you. When you hear those whispers, and we all do, ask yourself this question: why should I listen to the lies of the biggest loser of all time? Don't listen to Satan's lies. Lean on Jesus' love and trust his sacrifice. And that leads to the third big thing that we're celebrating today. We have a celebration of Jesus dealing with my darkest struggles. Everybody say that with me right now. The celebration of Jesus dealing with my darkest struggles. That's why Paul writes, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Paul takes the image of Jesus being nailed to the cross and totally turns it on its head. As a writer, he loved to do that. He loved to show how what Satan intended, God upended. And so he takes this image of Jesus being nailed to the cross. And here's what he's saying here. Actually, Jesus was the one nailing something to the cross. You see, more than hands got pierced and something beyond spikes got embedded into the wood. A catalog of my sins, a chronicle of all your shortcomings, a full and complete disclosure of every lie, every lustful thought, every greedy moment, every rebellious action against a holy God was driven into the depths of God's grace and pounded into the purity of Jesus' blood. I like how the New Century Version translates verse 15. God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. With the cross, he won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. See, Paul, as a writer, continually relished in the fact that when Jesus was stripped on the cross, in reality, he stripped the dark powers of this world. And when Jesus was nailed down on the beams of wood, in reality, he nailed down every defeating spirit that can be brought against us. And when Jesus was hung up to die, in reality, he was holding out life to all who would receive him. I want to tell you something. You know what happens every time you see a baptism? Every time you see a baptism, you are witnessing the surrender of the evil one who has been exposed and conquered through the cross of Christ because he has been compelled to release his power over that life by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. You are witnessing a powerful exchange that Paul describes like this in Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Jesus is all I need to deal with my darkest struggles. And friends, I want to tell you again, we don't have to fight for victory. We fight from victory. And what is about to happen here in just the next few moments is much bigger than people giving their lives to Jesus, although that is a big thing. It is really about Jesus giving his life to us. Jesus went all in, and he went all out for you. And I'm going to ask that you go all in, all the way in the water of baptism for him, just like they did in the Bible. You know, they didn't have fancy robes when someone got baptized. They didn't make appointments. They didn't always have a change of clothes. They just heard the good news about Jesus and spontaneously went all in by going all under. So let me just set up for just a few moments what's about to happen, and I want to be clear on what we're asking you to do. Some of you here right now, you've been preparing for this day. You've heard us talk about it. And you've been preparing for this day, but most of the people who are going to be baptized here in just a little bit, you did not plan on going all in today, but I believe the Holy Spirit has already been working, and he's telling you right now to go for it. This day might not have been on your calendar, but friends, this day has been circled on God's calendar since the day you were born. There could not be a more perfect day than today. To do this, we've got everything ready for you. We have three different baptism pools, one to my left, one to my right, and of course our main baptism pool, and they're all ready to go. And yes, I know you're wondering, they're all heated. Even a little on the toasty side. We will have at least two baptizers at every pool, so we won't drop you. With every burial in Jesus' name, there will be a resurrection. I promise you that. Now, here's what some people say. But Pastor, I haven't had a baptism class yet. I haven't gone to the baptism class yet. Friends, this message was your baptism class. All All you need to know is that Jesus is the only one who can forgive your sin and promise you eternal life, and that you are committing to follow him. And if that's your understanding, then we welcome you. Now, at baptism events like this, it's easy for people to get excited and caught up in the emotion of the moment. On past baptism weekends, I've seen some parents and I've seen some grandparents leave the worship center, go get their children out of our children's ministry classes and tell them, you will be baptized today. I want to ask you not to do that. I would ask you not to do that unless you and your child have planned on it and talked about it. I would encourage you to not bring really young children up here who don't understand what is happening to be baptized. I will say this, we will have representatives from our children's ministry around the front here, and you can talk to them about preparing your child for baptism when they are ready. Some people will say, I didn't come prepared. I don't have a towel. Well, guess what? There's at least 100 towels all around this room right now. Some people say, I don't have a change of clothes. Here's a fascinating scientific fact. People that get wet eventually dry off 100% of the time. Did you know that? I mean, that is a remarkable fact that happens. And I'm going to say this to you. Folks, we live in Florida. And between the stifling humidity and the sporadic downpours, you drive home wet every day. Now, if you want to change completely, we have reserved our main baptism pool, and you can go and you can do that. And there'll be some folks back there to assist you, and you can change, and our pastors will be there to be happy to help you with that. What about my stuff? Some of you say, well, I've got some stuff on. We got a plastic bag you can put all your valuables in, and a trustworthy person will hold on to it for you. I said last night that you put all your valuables in a plastic bag, and I'll make sure it goes to the 1-5 offering. And some people said, Pastor, that might discourage some people from coming. So I just want to say, a trustworthy person is going to watch over it for you, and I won't put it in the offering, all right? Some people say, but I want my family, I want my small group to see it. Us too. We want them to see it too. So text them. Call them. We're videoing all of these baptisms, and you can see it later on. They can rejoice with you. But some people, you might want to call somebody right now and say, hey, get over here. Get over here. If you're by yourself and you want to go all in and you're intimidated by all these people, just tap someone next to you and say, I want to go all in today and be baptized. Would you go up there with me? I'm confident whoever you tap will do it. I'm confident that they will do it. If you're older, we'll go slow. If you're married, bring your spouse with you and we'll baptize you together at the same time. We baptized a mother and daughter together last night in a beautiful thing. If you're tall, we'll baptize you in sections. Just kidding. If you have someone, we'll figure it out. If you have someone else that you want to baptize you, bring them up here with you, okay? Bring them with you. We'll get out of the way. For this is not about me. This is not about anybody on this platform. This is all about what God wants to do right now, all right? Some of you are sitting here, and I want to talk to you for just a second. We're going to get going. But I'm concerned about what others will think. Friends, don't let other people's opinions keep you from doing what God wants you to do. I want to tell you something. That has been holding some of you back for years. In fact, here's what I know. Some of you have been here a while, and you think that everyone else thinks you've already been baptized, and you're embarrassed to admit it that you haven't. Stop letting what others think keep you from doing what God has said. Stop that. I'm praying that the Word of God will penetrate your pride and that the Holy Spirit will pierce any spirit of pretense. Some people think it's too late for me. Wow. I want to tell you, it's never too late for God. It's never too late for God. People say, I'm nervous. Can I tell you something? Me too. Because I never know what's about to happen on these baptism weekends. I never know what's going to happen from one service to the next service. We don't know what's going to happen at the Apopka campus and the Mount Dora campus. And I've had people ask me, John, do you really think 150 people will be baptized this weekend? And here's the answer I believe God gave me. I don't know if 150 people will be baptized, but I know this. There are at least 150 people who could be and should be baptized at both Apopka and Mount Dora. I know that. And we've done everything possible to prepare. The pools are ready. The towels are ready. The volunteers are ready. The baptizers are ready. Heaven is ready to erupt in celebration. The church is ready to praise. Friend, the only thing missing is you. Mark Batterson made a great statement of faith. Mark Batterson wrote this, faith is the willingness to look foolish. Now, I want you to hear that again. Faith is the willingness to look foolish. And he wrote this, Noah looked foolish building an ark in the desert. And Sarah looked foolish buying maternity clothes at 90. And Moses looked foolish asking Pharaoh to let his slaves go. And the Israelite army looked foolish marching around Jericho blowing trumpets. And David looked foolish attacking Goliath with a slingshot. And the wise men looked foolish following a star to Timbuktu. And Peter looked foolish stepping out of a perfectly good boat in the middle of the lake in the middle of the night. And Jesus looked foolhardy, hanging half naked on the cross. Listen to me. We all look foolish at some point in our lives for something. In fact, I would suggest if you believe anything at your core, you will have to risk looking foolish for it at some point. Jesus Christ was willing to be whipped and stripped and nailed for you. And people thought it was foolish then, and many still do today. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus was stripped for you. Will you be drenched for him? Will you be drenched for him? Will you go all in and all out by going all under in the name of the one who is our all in all?
Thanks for listening to this message, All In Celebration with Lead Pastor John Hampson. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.